This is Reality Sandwich. And this is Paul Kangas, your host, speaking to you from radio station KPOO in San Francisco. Free speech radio somewhere in Babylon. Today, we're going to continue the investigation into who killed John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy. If you've been following this program, we've been doing readings out of the book by Jim Garrison, On the Trail of the Assassins. But today we're going to concentrate on the assassination of John Kennedy, Dr. Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy, because there's a connection. And we're going to try and make the connection. Not the French connection, the other connection, the CIA connection. We want you to understand that the man in prison for the killing of Dr. King did not kill Dr. King. The man in prison for the killing of Robert Kennedy, a man named Sirhan Sirhan, did not kill Robert Kennedy. I realize that might sound controversial, but it's important information that you should know. And the masked media doesn't want you to know, because the masked media's job is to hide the hand of the man who pulls the strings. All right. Who is this man, James Earl Ray, who sits in prison for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King? Where was he 6 months before Dr. King was killed? And where is he now? He was in prison before Dr. King was killed. That's right, in prison. Why was he in prison? Because he held up a gas station with a pocket knife. And as he was driving away from his big holdup job, this loner, he turned a corner and the door flew open on his car and he fell out of the car onto the street. And that's where they found him, unconscious, a half a block away from the gas station. Witnesses saw him, and the police just simply picked up this numbskull, unconscious, threw him in the paddy wagon, and carted him off to prison, where he was kept in the American prison system, the gulag, and he was brainwashed, and he was abused by the prison system. He was trained. He was brainwashed. He was set up. For those of you who've been in prison, and those of you in San Quentin listening, you know what it's like in the American prison system. America imprisons more people than any country on the face of the earth except South Africa. And from the changes going on in South Africa, it won't be long that American prisons will hold a higher percentage of Americans in prison than any country on the face of the earth. Well, what goes on in these prisons is they train people like James Earl Ray. But take a look at who James Earl Ray is, his background. James Earl Ray's brother is a CIA agent. James Earl Ray's brother is the head of a white Aryan CIA group, a racist hate group controlled by the CIA. And so the prison's the perfect training ground to train more CIA zombies like James Earl Ray. Okay, now let's step back and ask yourself a question. Suppose you're sitting in prison for doing an armed robbery and you're doing 5 to life or whatever it was they gave him, and you get a chance to, quote, escape from prison. What would you do? Would you immediately go following somebody like Dr. Martin Luther King around, who's got to be surrounded by all kinds of undercover police, CIA and FBI spies? In fact, the Atlanta, Georgia FBI branch was known as the Get King Squad. And when King was assassinated, guess which branch of the FBI was assigned to investigate the assassination of Dr. King? Was it the Memphis branch or the Florida branch or the California branch of the FBI? No. It was the famous Get King Squad of the FBI. The Atlanta branch of the FBI was sent to Memphis to investigate, that is, to cover up the FBI's killing of King in a way that the media could use to blind the population as to what had happened. Take a look at history. There have been other people like James Earl Ray used by the FBI and the CIA. In fact, the most famous case is a man named Lucky Luciano, who was in prison for smuggling drugs into the United States from Italy. When the OSS, that is the precursor to the CIA, decided that they wanted somebody who was stupid, brutal, and ruthless to go to Italy with a gang of thugs and kill all the union organizers on the docks in Italy. So the OSS went through the prison files looking for a likely victim, went through the prison records looking for somebody who was brutal enough to work with the OSS and the CIA. They came up with this Lucky Luciano, an Italian drug dealer, crazy. And they asked him, how would you like to come with us to Italy and kill union organizers? Tell you what, we will give you the heroin traffic from Italy, from Sicily. Joe Aliotto's, the Aliotto family's hometown in Sicily. And we will give you the heroin traffic from Sicily to New York City and San Francisco. You can work with Joe over in San Francisco. And if you will help us kill the union organizers in Italy after World War II, we got to stop the union movements. We don't want unions in Italy after the World War II. By the way, during World War II, the American government was on the side of Hitler and Mussolini. That may seem strange to hear in 1992, especially on a program that's supposed to be talking about the CIA assassination of John Kennedy, but if you read, there's several great books on it. One is called Trading with the Enemy. Trading with the Enemy details how the CIA created Hitler, and the OSS created Hitler. Ford Motor Company created Hitler in order to attack the Soviet Union. General Motors created Mussolini in order to break the unions in Italy and control the factories for the benefit of General Motors. All right, so back to our story. The OSS and CIA ask Lucky Luciano, hey, Lucky, go with us, man. Hey, man, we'll give you the traffic. So he does. And so the mafia is created by the CIA. Then, okay, that's an analogy to the way the CIA used James Earl Ray. So if you're in prison and you escape from prison in 1968 and you're trying to hide, would you go looking around for the most visible, upfront political activist in the country? Martin Luther King leading a union strike in Memphis, the Garbage Workers Union in Memphis, trying to get equal wages for Sanitation Workers Union? No way. That's not logical. Unless, of course, the story they tell about Ray is false. We believe it is. We believe that James Earl Ray was simply a patsy. Take a look at the history of James Earl Ray. Remember, allegedly, somebody shot Martin Luther King in 1968. Resulting in headlines in the New York Times, White Man Shoots Dr. King in Memphis, which set off race riots all throughout the United States except in one major town, except in San Francisco. Because in San Francisco, groups like SDS and the Black Panther Party had been working together for years in the anti-war movement. They'd been working together to integrate the colleges, like San Francisco State College. In fact, SDS and the Black Panther Party helped open up San Francisco State admissions. Back in those days, the grade point average that you had to have to get into San Francisco State was a certain amount, except they were allowing veterans like myself to be admitted to San Francisco State College with a lower grade point average than was required for the average student. They also would let athletes in with a low grade point average, but they wouldn't let black students in who wanted to go to school, who happened to have a grade point average lower than what the school was requiring. So we demanded and won the right for black students to go to San Francisco State College to try and start their lives over. Because, you know, high school is a joke. You don't learn anything in high school. In college, it's different. It's you are allowed to think for yourself, take courses you want, prepare your life, build your future. That's what college is about. So in San Francisco, we had a long integrated history of black and white students working together, fighting for jobs, fighting for unions, fighting for educational rights for poor people, whether they are Asian, Latin, Indian, black, or white. So when Dr. King was assassinated in 1968, you didn't have race riots in San Francisco. Instead, we formed teams, interracial teams, black and white, brown, Indian, Asian. We went out in teams all throughout town, the town of San Francisco, and talked to people on the streets. And it was powerful. Here they saw teams of black and white students, two and three and four black and white students walking along together, talking to people. Be cool. Be cool. This is not a race thing. This is not a race thing. White people did not kill Dr. King. The CIA killed Dr. King. That's what we told people back in 1968. And we prevented race riots from happening here because we were more politically conscious than the rest of the country, because we had been working together to try and fight racism and poverty here in San Francisco. So it didn't happen here. Okay, when they arrested James Earl Ray, the patsy they're using to cover this story, what did they find in Ray's possession? Well, they found maps, and they found passports, and they found money, handfuls of money. In fact, tracing back his trail as he wandered out of the prison and up to Canada and over to England, they were able to prove that James Earl Ray spent in excess of $10,000 cash. Where did James Earl Ray walk out of prison, and there's no known holdup he was known to have committed, and he picks up $10,000 cash to spend as he wants, plus the passports of four white males, all Canadian, Toronto Canadian police officers who just happened to fit the same physical description as James Earl Ray was. Isn't that coincidence that he has not one, not two, not three, not four passports? He's got four, and they all have physical descriptions of people that match him. Who supplied James Earl Ray with those passports? Who supplied him with the cash? The Central Intelligence Agency, because they were using James Earl Ray like a decoy, like a dead fish you drag along the ground to attract a cat over. So they were using him like a decoy to attract the media, to divert the media's attention from the CIA role in the killing of Dr. King. All right. And with that, it's time for a little music.
Oh, yeah. All right. You're stupid. Because you're stupid!
Francisco Mime Troupe, rewarding us for living in these troubled times, giving us inspiration and hope. All right. Now, that's a summary, a short summary of what we know about James Earl Ray's role in the cover-up of who actually killed Dr. King. Now, let me go into the assassination of Robert Kennedy, because most books that you read on the assassination of John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy don't try to connect the three. On this program, we're going to show you the connections, the three assassinations, because we want you to understand in this period when George Bush's true role in the CIA and the assassinations is being exposed. We want you to see exactly how it is that this was pulled off. All right. You remember what was going on in 1968? There was a war going on in Vietnam. Massive bombing, genocidal war against the Vietnamese people. A war being perpetrated on the Vietnamese people in order to maintain the opium poppy fields of Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, which Air America and the CIA were smuggling back into this country in order to sell illegal drugs on the world market so that they could fund their illegal operations all over the world. That's what the CIA uses drugs for, is to fund these illegal operations. Then Robert Kennedy was running for presidency against Richard Nixon, 1968. But let's back up a minute. In April of 1968, the anti-war movement had driven then President Johnson out of the White House. On April Fool's Day, that fool, Lyndon Johnson, resigned from the presidency. But even a month before that, a curious event happened in America. In March 1968, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, Richard Nixon began running for presidency against Johnson. And Robert Kennedy had not yet announced. The reason Nixon was running is because Johnson had gone to Nixon. See, Johnson and Nixon actually were partners in crime. Nixon had been told by Johnson, look, you're going to have to run for the presidency to keep the Kennedys out, because Johnson's in too much trouble with the anti-war movement worldwide. He can't go anywhere without getting a tomato stuck in his face. So Johnson is discredited. Nobody will buy Johnson's war anymore. So we now need Nixon. So the CIA brings in their Nixon clown, and he's running for office against Johnson. Johnson resigns. This takes the whole nation by surprise. This clown, Johnson, resigns on April Fool's Day. I can still remember where I was, standing in the kitchen, cooking up some brown rice and vegetables. Anyhow, then Martin Luther King is speaking out forcefully, U.S. out of Vietnam. Robert Kennedy is speaking out forcefully, U.S. out of Vietnam. SDS is speaking out forcefully. The whole anti-war movement is speaking out, trying to stop the war. People are saying things like, ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, NLF is gonna win. And the popular tune on the radio at the time was Street Fighting Man. The ruling class and the CIA realize they're in trouble. So what do? They decide they're gonna scare Robert Kennedy into shutting up about Vietnam. They kill Dr. Martin Luther King as a warning to the peace movement. They kill Dr. Martin Luther King as a warning to the civil rights movement. Don't link civil rights for black people with an end to the war in Vietnam. But Dr. King was smart enough to know that black people are not going to be able to get good education, medical care, and housing in this country if the money's being wasted on a drug war in Vietnam. So Dr. King was speaking out against the war. So the CIA killed Dr. King to try and chop the head off the anti-war movement. in the civil rights movement, in the anti-nuclear movement. Robert Kennedy, to his credit, did not stop speaking out against the war. In fact, he became louder, calling for the U.S. to get out of Vietnam, that we should have peace with the Vietnamese and negotiate with the Vietnamese and the Cubans and the Russians and the Chinese, that we want peace on Earth and we want trade on Earth. Well, the CIA realized Robert Kennedy wasn't going to back down, because Robert Kennedy knew the only way the investigation into the assassination of John Kennedy was going to happen is if Robert Kennedy got back into the control of the country, became president of the United States, and could, one, stop the war in Vietnam, two, open the investigation into who killed John Kennedy. At the time, Jim Garrison was leading a crusade in New Orleans to prosecute CIA agents, and New York Times was slandering Garrison, attacking Robert Kennedy and the civil rights movement. The Washington Post was attacking Garrison and Robert Kennedy and the peace movement. Time magazine, all the media, the masked media, the agencies of the Central Intelligence Agency were all attacking the peace movement and trying to suppress Garrison. After all, think of what the words, the initial CIA stand for. CIA stands for Central Intelligence Agency, which is the central news agency of the United States. Remember during the war in Iraq, the TV would say, this story cleared by censors. Who is the censors? The CIA and the Iraqi CIA. By the way, Saddam Hussein was a good friend of George Bush's until the day before the war. George Bush created Saddam Hussein, just like George Bush helped create Richard Nixon. How many people know that the Bush family hired Richard Nixon to be the vice president along with Eisenhower, and that Nixon was actually in charge when Eisenhower was president? Eisenhower was just a front, a puppet, for the Nixon gang and the Bush gang. All right. So they realize Robert Kennedy's not going to stop. He's going to try and put his surfboard on the anti-war movement wave, and he's going to sweep into the White House. And then we're going to really be in trouble, because he's going to open the investigation into who killed John Kennedy. So the CIA and George Putnam hired a guard to protect Robert Kennedy while he was speaking in Los Angeles. That guard's name was Thane Eugene Caesar, another puppet of the CIA. By the way, have you ever heard the name George Putnam? Ask yourself, George Putnam. Anybody from Los Angeles out there? Hey, I see a couple people raising their hands. All right, you know who George Putnam is, the highest paid TV and radio announcer in the United States, based in Los Angeles. Everybody down in Los Angeles is raising their hands. You know who he is, right? All right. Well, a man worked for George Putnam as a horse groom, a little Arab man. And George Putnam was an expert in hypnosis. Well, George Putnam would invite this little Arab employee of his over to his home in the evening after he was done working at George Putnam's stables. And Putnam would teach Sirhan Sirhan hypnosis, meaning George Putnam would hypnotize Sirhan Sirhan and then get Sirhan to do tricks for George Putnam. Kinky kinds of tricks that Putnam enjoyed doing when he'd get people under hypnosis in the privacy of his home. And that's how they trained Sirhan. They spent months, the CIA and George Putnam, training Sirhan Sirhan. Then, in June 1968, Robert Kennedy, speaking in Los Angeles, he speaks after he wins the key California primary. And it's obvious to everybody in the country, the next president of the United States is going to be none other than Robert Kennedy. And the war in Vietnam will stop. And the investigation into who killed John Kennedy will start. And Jim Garrison in New Orleans will finally have an ally in the White House. Well, Robert Kennedy walked off the podium and into the kitchen into a trap set by the CIA, a trap in which a man named Thane Eugene Caesar, hired by George Putnam and working for the Central Intelligence Agency, walked up behind Robert Kennedy, placed a pistol to the back of Robert Kennedy's head, and then when Sirhan stepped out, by the way, Sirhan was under hypnosis at the time, and Sirhan pulled his little revolver and started to shoot at Robert Kennedy, but history intervened. A very large football player named Rosie Greer, a large black football player named Rosie Greer, stepped forward and grabbed Sirhan and crushed Sirhan to the steam table and prevented Sirhan from shooting Robert Kennedy. And in fact, forced the gun down onto the floor and all the shots were emptied onto the floor. Yippee! Rosie Greer had saved the life of Robert Kennedy from an assassin. Whoops. Look again. Just as Sirhan was being crushed to the steam table by Rosie Greer, Thane Eugene Caesar pulled his pistol and stuck it point blank in the back of Robert Kennedy's head and fired three times. Boom, boom, boom. You don't have to believe me on this one. The autopsy report on Robert Kennedy shows that he was killed by three bullets point blank in the back of the head. If you'd like a copy of the autopsy report, please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. This has been Reality Sandwich with your host, Paul Kangas. By the way, I'm a former bodyguard for President Kennedy, and I'm continuing the investigation the government has refused to do, along with Jim Garrison and Oliver Stone. So until next week, on Tuesday or Thursday, you can hear this program. Here's a musical break with the San Francisco Mime Troupe. Whoops, did you say I forgot to give you the P.O. box clearly? Thank you for saying that. Here's the P.O. Box again. P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. By the way, if you send us a donation, we'll send you more material. But send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, please.
Whoa, wouldn't you like to be face to face?